Hello, welcome to Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. And if you're listening to this at night, I hope your night is going well too. If you so happen to come across this website and this particular sermon teaching, welcome. And those that have been listening for a little while, thank you for your support and listening and supporting. And supporting, I mean, by sharing it out there to others. The goal is to get God's word out there by any means necessary, right? So it's all about reaching those with the gospel. But if this is your first time, we are in spiritual warfare. It's a series, so it's the most extensive one I've done so far. 18, this would be the 18th part of this series. That's a lot, and we are, I was thinking about at 20, but it looks like I'll just let the Holy Spirit move as he sees fit on this, and to tell me to stop so we're going easily hit over 20, and the goal is to preach and to teach what is spiritual warfare, and for us to be better soldiers engaging in that spiritual war, the spiritual battles that we encounter every day. And if you are a child of God, you know exactly what I'm talking about. What the sad truth is many pulpits that I'm aware of don't preach on this topic. And it's a sad thing, because we need to understand we have a real enemy. One of his titles that we are most familiar with is Satan. And he wants to do us no good and all harm. And to understand how to be a soldier for Christ, engaging in a good warfare, is very critical to our walk with our walk with Jesus Christ. So, course, last week, if you are, it was Resurrection Sunday, is what we call Easter, but Resurrection Sunday, and I did preach a salvation message, and a lot of times within these series, you have salvation messages within there too. But it was a Resurrection Sunday message. When you stroll down, you'll see that one. But then if you keep strolling down, you'll see part 17, part 16, 15, 14, etc. What I'm getting at, if you're listening to this the first time, to get the full impact of this sermon teaching series, is to listen to part one. I know there's redundancy there, but hey, take notes. Listen to the ones that resonate with you. The Holy Spirit moves on you. Learn scripture, the scriptures that we're using. Memorize them. If you do anything, write the scriptures down and memorize them. There's power in memorizing scripture. And I encourage you, if you're not doing that, to do that. I believe a lot on my wife and I. We're memorizing scripture together. We're doing a spiritual warfare Bible study separate from, what I do here. And several other Bible studies at home. And we're focusing on memorizing scripture. I memorize scripture anyway on a weekly or daily basis, and that's important. I would love one day to have several books memorized completely through, but it's a challenge. But you may not want to do that, but memorizing scripture. So when you're doing that, you're focusing your mind on something different. And of course, we'll get a little bit more on that. And of course, we've talked about that a little bit too. So we are going to, and we'll be in 1 Timothy 1:7, and I believe it was 2 weeks ago we actually looked at this scripture, and honestly, we'll be looking at this scripture probably for the next two sessions or preaching or teaching, however you want to view this as. So we're camping here, and I encourage you, this is a, you know, not a very hard scripture to memorize. And if you guys hear thundering in the background, there is, we have, sound like we're about to get some bad weather. I'm actually trying to record this earlier than normal, so just in case we lose power. But 1 Timothy 1:7. It says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, your throne of grace, laying it all, surrendering all, giving it everything we have to you, knowing that you have our best interest in mind, we pray that our life matches up with yours. We pray for your will to be done, not ours. This life can be filled with challenges. Oh, I know, I feel them. None of us can escape the challenges of this life. But you tell us you will be with us to the end. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that moves in us, that provides that comfort and that peace, the guidance. He is the ultimate teacher. He is the ultimate companion. Thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for your Son, Jesus Christ, that had to die on the cross for a sinner like me, like you, listening right now, like us, this world. That perfect Lamb of God, the blood had to be shed. For out the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no forgiveness of sin. Sweet Holy Spirit, move as you see fit, as always. Reach whoever you need to reach through this ministry. If it's only one, that's all that matters. I'm your humble servant. I'm your mouthpiece. Let those that are listening open their hearts to what God has to say today, for this week. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you're listening to this right now, I know 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, we talked about the spirit of fear. Now, when we look at the spirit of fear, where does this fear come from? Now, if you listen to the past sermons and teachings, you truly understand what I'm saying here, and you truly know his name or his title, Satan. Of course, he goes by many others. He is a thief. We get that from John. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy, right? That is his MO. That's his motive. He doesn't want nothing good for you. Peter tells us that he's a roaring lion seeking who he can devour, going to and fro. We know that he is a murderer, a liar, and the list goes on and on. He's a deceiver. This spirit of fear is negative. It will, if you allow it, petrify your life. This is just what he does, and he's very good at this. I want to tell you, we do not have to have this type of fear to have control over our lives if we are children of God. Because we are children of God, and I pray that you are today. We are light. Satan is darkness, as his demonic host is nothing pure darkness. I love how Matthew 5, 14 through 16 puts it. Matthew tells us here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that he penned these words. Ye are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel as a bucket, but on a candlestick, and it give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before man that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, we are children. If we are children of God, we are what? Light bearers. Light lives in us. That is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you get this, that we seek to be that city on a hill, right? If you could just imagine if a hill, right? Or you can take it, say, imagine a mountain and a house. And that house is just so bright, it's lit it up. And those around look around, they see it. And they're like, what is going on? What is going on in that city? Why is it so lit up? I want to go and I want to explore what's going on. We are supposed to be that light to those around us. Yes, many will reject this light. They will not want nothing to do with this light. But we don't cease not to be the light. When we look at Jesus' life, right? We model our life after Jesus. If you ever read through the Gospels, I encourage you to read through them and to study through them. Look at Jesus' life. We are supposed to model our life after His. But when it was said and done, when Jesus Christ was that horrible day where He was being beaten, scourged, and then crucified, there was only one disciple that we read through the gospel that was there. One out of 12. And there was, we could believe there was a whole lot of more. The 12 was just his inner circle. But there was more disciples too beyond that. But guess who was there? Only one. Don't think your Christian life, when you stand on truth, will be an easy one. Our flesh will hurt. People will hurt you, I promise you. I've been hurt so many times, have lost count. This is part of the ministry. It's part of our life. But it doesn't cease us to still be the light to this world. We keep in mind that we move on. It hurts. The pain is for real. But Satan will, if you let Satan, he will push that dagger deeper into your back. Forgive, forget, and move on. Let the Holy Spirit do His work in your life. Do not hold a grudge. Press on. We are to be that light regardless on that hill. And here is, and Matthew speaks of being a candle on a candlestick. We don't want to hide this light. We want to shine as bright as possible to this lost world. Do not let Satan wrap your mind with the chains of darkness of this world. He and his demons, they can be like a leech that can attach onto you and oppress you, sucking the life out of you. And they will if you let them. So don't. You can allow them to invade your soul with the spirit of fear. And when you do that, your power that Christ is giving you, the love that Christ is giving you, the sound mind that Christ has given you is seriously hampered, seriously affected. I want to tell you this, and write this down if you want. Satan does not have power over you. He only has the power that you have allowed him to have in your life. Get that. That's the only power that he has. The power that you have allowed him to infect in your life. If you're giving yourself to the spirit of fear, it will drain your power. It will create in you a cold heart. It will cause your mind to drift into chaos. The spirit of fear is counter to God, because God wants to give you power, love, and sound mind. Now when we look at 1 Timothy 1:7, that first part says, and I want to encourage you, if you have your Bible, highlight this. Maybe you never really got what God is trying to tell you through his word here. God does not give us what? The spirit of fear. This is counter. I just, you know, talked about that. But he gives us what? Highlight that part too. Power, love, and sound mind. Power, love, and sound mind comes from who? God. And like I said, we're going to camp on these passages. And the goal here is to show that God has given us the power, the love, sound mind to counter the spirit of fear. I don't know if this is operating in your life. This is a fear that is petrifying you. It drains you. It drains your hope. I don't know if you're experiencing anxiety and depression based off of something in your life. This is a spirit of fear that's operating in your life. Now, sometimes there is a chemical imbalance. I ain't a medical doctor. Our bodies are amazing. When we look at our body, when I look at in the mirror, just looking, you know, it's amazing that we are breathing. God created us. Man, it's amazing when you study how the body operates. So some people do have a chemical imbalance that needs medication. And I get that. I'm not saying not take medication. I'm saying that we need to recognize the spirit of fear in our lives and how devastating it can be. And that God has given us direction on how to handle the spirit of fear. And the one we're going to look at is power. And the goal is to break down the next few weeks the love and the sound mind in the same kind of theme here, is how to counter the spirit of fear. So what is the power that Timothy is talking about? The power here is countering the spirit of fear, right? The spirit of fear is darkness. Comes from Satan and his demons. Well, the power is light. Is from God. Light breaks darkness. A sun rises in the morning. And guess what? Darkness flees from the sun. The ultimate sun, the ultimate light source is God. We are his light bearers, and within this light, power resides in us to break that darkness. God loves us so much that he tells us We do not have to live in this constant state of fear, this spirit of fear. You may ask yourself, am I being unbiblical when I say that God has not given us the spirit of fear? No. A true child of God has given, God has given the power over the spirit of fear. Second Corinthians 13:4 says, but though he was speaking of Jesus Christ, crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God. For we, that is children of God, also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. God has given us the power. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, right, to endure that cross, to show that we cannot do this life in our own strength, our own power. We don't have no power. It all comes from God. And the cross is a powerful reminder of that perfect sacrifice that was given to you, me, us, this world, right? And when we recognize what, truly recognize what that cross means to us, as, and we come to Christ, we're no longer part of the kingdom of darkness, but the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God. And because we are children of God and we recognize the crucifixion that was and what was done on that cross, we have the power of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, right? Romans 8:9-16 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Oh, in the Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Do you recognize the Spirit of God dwells in you as a child of God? And it says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If the Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. But the Spirit raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brother, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if thou the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, he shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, what they are here. They are the sons of God, and that is overcome. That term is referring to all that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to what? Fear. Here referring to the spirit of fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father, such a closeness we can have with our Father. And the spirit inside bears witness with our spirit. And we are what? We are the children of God. Oh, this is so beautiful. It just points to God, right? What he has done for you and me. Sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Because Christ is risen, right? The Holy Spirit comes into our life when we confess and believe in Jesus Christ. Romans 10:8-13. And it's very important to remember this passage right here when you're quoting it. Just don't quote Romans 8 and 9. We need to go through this whole passage to understand. I will hear people that will distort the salvation message by just saying, all you have to do is say a few words and it's done. No. Romans 10:8-13 said, but what say it? The word is nigh thee in the mouth and thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. What the author here, the physical author, being inspired by the Holy Spirit. And I believe Paul wrote this letter, but some will debate that, but it doesn't matter. We know that God is the ultimate author of the whole Bible, and he is the ultimate author of the whole Bible. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit and has no errors. And what the author is saying is the word of faith, which we preach. And what he's preaching, that faith, is that trust in Jesus Christ and his word and what we have preached. And what they're saying, we're preaching the gospel. We're preaching his birth, his death, right? The crucifixion and his resurrection. And what does it mean to you in your life? And when you think about that, you don't take this passage and use it alone as a stand passage. We look at salvation throughout the whole context of the Bible to get the full understanding of what Jesus has done for us and what does it mean for each and every one of our lives. And it says, verse 9, that if thou confess thy mouth, if you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, as recognizing who he is and what he has done, and shall believe in your heart that God has risen him from the dead, that is the resurrection, it says, thou shalt be saved. And verse 10 says, for the heart man believe unto righteousness. People don't want to talk about righteousness. God calls us to live a righteous and holy life. To not be okay with our sins. And that's why the heart man believes unto righteousness. I mean, when we come to Christ, we seek to walk in the Spirit. And not in our flesh. That is our goal. Our flesh will be war. We'll be warring against our flesh. That's just part of it. And we'll war against our flesh to the very end until this is our last breath on this earth and we are seeing God face to face. And I pray when he can say, well done, my good and faithful servant, and not depart from me. Not the other phrase that is horrible where you say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. He's referring to Christians here when he says, depart from me, work of iniquity, meaning you're walking this life pretending to be something you're not. And you didn't hurt Jonathan Ritter by pretending. You hurt yourself because you can pretend this whole life, and when you die, you will go to hell. No second chances, eternal damnation, eternal burning. Stop faking it if you are. It's not worth it. But the mouth confession is made into salvation. Verse 11 said, for the scripture said, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. Or just say Gentile. Jew and the Greek. For the Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, when we call on the name of the Lord, we're calling for a new life. No, not the same life we're living before we call on the name of Jesus Christ. Not a life of filth, not a life of sin, not a life of doing me. It's all about me, my dreams, my hopes, my purposes, my direction, my way. No, we call on the name of Jesus. And when we truly do, there's a transformation within our heart. And our life is changed. Our dreams should now line up with his. Our hopes should line up with his. Our purposes should line up with his. Our direction should line up with his. Our way should line up with his. Is your way, is your direction, your purpose, hopes, and dreams lining up with what Jesus has for you? This life may not turn out the way you want it to turn out. I speak from personal experience. And if you guys follow this ministry at any time, you know my personal testimony. I was going to be a psychologist. I was in grad school earning my master, which eventually would have led to my PhD. I would have became a psychologist eventually in the end, and maybe teaching at a university. But God didn't allow that to happen. My goal was to have a nice cushion. Perfectly, I like teaching, so I was aiming to work at a university and teach. Nice cushion, you know, job, intellectually stimulating. But God said no. It was rough coming to that realization. Surrendering to preach wasn't something I took lightly, and I still don't. I do not. And preachers that are taking their calling lightly, not praying as they should, hours and hours over their sermons, travailing over God, they don't need to be in the pulpit. And God will hold them accountable before they even. And they sure already know this. God does not take them lightly doing what they're doing. And His grace and mercy still extends with them. And they can confess and repent of their years of handling God's word loosely. But why be up there? If your heart's not truly into it, why be there? If you're doing it as a hobby, you got problems. If you're doing it as a sole occupational platform, you got problems. It's not about the money. It's not about the fame. It's about our Lord Jesus Christ and how He can use us to glorify those around us with the message that He has given us. But life, you know, I don't take this lightly. I feel the burden every time, even when I do this in my little office on my phone. I feel the burden. When I'm in the pulpit, I feel the burden too. It's just as I'm preaching now or teaching now, I feel it equally when I'm in person. The message, it's heavy. And I am human. I know I can misspeak. I know I'm not the most elegant speaker out there. But I'm gonna tell you, I love you. And I love your soul. And I want to see you in heaven one day with me. But the direction of your life may not be what you were hoping for. You may be in a situation that you just don't get. Bring that to the Lord in prayer. I'm pretty sure you are. You may not like the answer that God gives you. God, the answer could be is, I have you right where I need you. I think of Job, right? Man, if you never read through the book of Job, I encourage you to. Man was wealthy. Pretty big family. 7 sons. 3 daughters. We can assume that he had good health. And then, you know, he got tested. Lost his son. Sons and daughters. Lost his wealth. And his health. But he still stood. A lot of prosperity gospels, they won't even touch that, those passages, because it goes against their money-making schemes. And if they don't repent and turn from their wicked ways, they will have their reward. It will not be heaven, it will be hell. What I'm getting at, we face challenges in this life. There's directions within our life that we wrestle with. But the reality is, we're right where God needs us to be. I don't know your situation. I don't know your challenge. All I know is Scripture. And one part of that is the reality of it. One part of that is that God has you right where He wants you. And you know, I struggle with that too. I would love to be in full-time ministry instead of working a secular job that could care less about its people. It's just what it is the way of the world. And when you can't perform the way they want you to, guess what? They get rid of you and they find somebody else. And that's the way of the world. But thank God, we know that this place is not our home and we're only passing through. But when we come to Christ, what I'm getting at is His purpose, right? His direction, His hopes, His dreams, His way. We want our life to line up with His. It's not about us anymore. It's about how Jesus Christ can use us to reach those around us. And this is our changed life, right? We seek to walk in the Spirit. If you do not want all of this, and you're saying, I refuse this, I don't want my life to change, I desire to walk more in the flesh, this power that is in Scripture that God is telling that we can have, you do not have it. I get this is rough, but this is reality. You're not His. You don't have the benefits that we have as children of God. Ephesians 3:20 tells us, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, but all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. If you don't want a changed life, you cannot sit there and you can say it, but it's not going to work that way. Oh, I have the power in Christ in me. Oh, but I want my life of sin. I want my life of doing whatever I want. I don't care about my life matching up with Jesus Christ. I don't care about studying His Word. I don't care about praying. Oh, you do not have this power that God speaks of within the Scripture to break the spirit of fear upon on your life. Because the power of God, that is the Holy Spirit that is in us. If you choose to go your own way, the Holy Spirit is not in you. The Holy Spirit still operates in His children. Acts 1:8 still exists. It's still irrelevant today. I know this is controversial and people don't want to think about it, but Acts 1:8 still is irrelevant today. Says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come up on you. Ye shall be witness unto me both. Me is speaking Jesus, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and up over the othermost part of the earth. From Acts 1, right? And you to Revelation. Or you can even just, you know, the Holy Spirit comes in us, the Comforter, right? In John, that Jesus speaks of when he said, I die, I'm going to leave you a Comforter, the Holy Spirit. That's why I say Acts 1 through 8 to Revelation, or Acts 1, that Holy Spirit that comes into our life indwells us. We have that power. There is no scripture that tells us that power has ceased. Nowhere. There's nowhere in scripture where it tells us our God cannot heal. There's nowhere in scripture where it tells us that God cannot do miracles. He can't. There's nowhere in scripture where he tells us that we can't cast out demons. And those that say that he can't do that, they're not serving the same God that we are serving in the scripture. Because our God is still a God of healing. Our God still can do miracles. Our God can deliver a person that is possessed by a devil or demons. Our God is still, he can make a way when there is no way. He can make. Our God is a way maker, a miracle worker, a promise keeper. The light in darkness. That is who our God is. God looks down on this world in her unbelief. And he says, if you only had faith as a mustard seed. Matthew 17:20-21 says, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you, if ye have a faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto the mountain, remove hence to yonder place, it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. A tiny grain of mustard seed. Google a seed of mustard seed. Look how tiny it is. He said, if you have that little grain, that faith, and that faith is that trust in God's word. You can say unto that mountain, remove. He's giving that illustration that the power of faith in your life and that power and faith go together when it comes to countering the spirit of fear in your life. And I preached quite a few on Mark 4. Mark 4, 36 through 40, and let's read that. It says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him as he was in this ship, and there also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. He was a hinder part of the ship, and asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him, and said unto him, Master, cure us out that we perish. There's that fear, right? Satan was right there in the boat with him. He rose and he rebuked the wind. And he said unto the sea, what did he say? He said, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, he's saying to the disciples, and he's saying to you, why are ye so fearful? Why are you so fearful? Why are you operating in the spirit of fear? And how is that ye have no faith? And then they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him. They still wasn't getting the power that Jesus was giving them. It wasn't fully realized until the Holy Spirit came into their lives fully and utterly. They recognize the power. Right? Acts 1:8. You see the power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you and shall be witnesses unto me. And you read Acts 1 all the way up to the end. It's amazing. God's word is amazing, right? Love God's word. Faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Faith that trusts in his word and knowing it will. It is true, and you believe it. We are children of the Most High, but when we doubt God, when we start doubting God, Satan and his demons, don't think they don't hesitate on jumping all over that. James 1:6-8 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wave is like a wave of the sea driven with a wind and tossed. For let not the man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I don't know if you ever experienced being in a sea or experienced water waves. But I have, and maybe you have. But when a wave, you're in the water, that wave raises you up, what does it do? It pushes you back down. Up, down, up, back. You never gain any ground. That is who we are when we're doubting God. Our faith is wavering. And where our faith is wavering, verse 7 says, for let not that man, and you can say man or woman here, think that he or she shall receive anything of the Lord. That when you are in that state of doubt, do not believe that God's going to operate in that state that you're in. Start doubting God. You start doubting His Word. Anytime during this process. Verse 8 tells us. Not my words. God's Word. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You are unstable in your ways. I want to tell you. I do not believe in unanswered prayers. There is yes. There is maybe. Meaning wait for it. And there's that word that we do not like to hear. No. We don't like to hear the word no. It just goes against our nature. If you're at work and your boss tells you to do something, you tell them, seriously telling them no. They don't want to hear that. Why? Because it goes against our very nature. When God tells us no, it's the same way. But the difference is when God tells us no, it is truly for our benefit. He's telling us no for a reason, because He is guarding us from something. From some thing that we cannot see, because we are not God, and I do not want that job. I know there's people out there, they preach that we can be little gods. I don't want to be no God. I don't want to be the God. I won't be no God. I just want to be a humble servant before the holy and righteous God, and have Him guide and direct my life, and pray that my life and my everything matches up with what He wants me to do today, tomorrow, this week, the months and the years, that my life lines up with His every day. And that's all. And when I go home, He will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I pray that you have that mindset too. See, when we have this mindset, we can operate in the power that Jesus Christ has given us to counter the spirit of fear. So in closing, God has not given us the spirit of fear, right? And we looked at the one part here of the power, love, and sound mind. We looked at power. And how power that God has given us, that we are truly His to counter this spirit of fear, this spirit of torment, this spirit that petrifies us. God has given us the power, His power of the Holy Spirit that resides in those that truly believe in Him. And we talk about that, you know, Romans 10, right? Romans 10, 8 through 12, I believe. What it means to believe. And yeah, I've talked about belief a lot because I believe, I believe, this is misconstrued a lot of times. What does it mean to truly believe in Jesus? It means to place our faith in Jesus. What does it mean to place our faith in Jesus? It means to put our trust in God through His Word and believing what He says is true and striving to live a life according to what God has laid out in His Scripture, not our opinions. I don't like that part of the Bible, so I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to deal with it. I just want to take my highlighter or my black marker and mark it out. I love my sin. I don't want to live away from my sin. I want to live in my fornication. I want to live in my adultery life. I want to talk and be filthy as much as I can. I want to place my life above God. I could care about studying God's Word. I could care about having a deep and devoted life of prayer. I want to tell you, prayer in most lives today are those professing Christians, and you know who you are. They could barely do an hour of prayer a day, not even that. And God knows you. He knows what you're doing. And He will call you out one day. I pray that He calls you out while you're alive instead of calling you out when you're face to face with Him. He knows your true desire. We are supposed to be light bearers, guys. We looked at Matthew speaking how we are supposed to be light. A city on the hill. A lit city on a hill. A candle lit on a candlestick. To those around us that need to have the hope that is in us. Our hope is not defined by the situations or the circumstances that we are going through. Our hope is defined in Jesus Christ. Our joy does not come from ourselves. Our joy comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, right? His will be done, not mine. I want my life to line up with His every day. I don't care what it looks like. Take over, Holy Spirit, guide and direct as you see fit. I want my life to be saturated with prayer on a daily basis. Hours and hours of communication with my Heavenly Father. Seeking His direction, seeking His will with my life. Oh Lord, guide and direct my steps as you see fit. I'm not okay with the sin in my life, for it drives me to my knees and my heart drops in my chest, and I pray for forgiveness for how I am easily. I can easily fall to that temptation. It's only Christ in me, and the Holy Spirit gives me strength to keep on pressing on, to not yield into temptation. It's only the Holy Spirit that grieves my soul when I sin against my Lord Jesus Christ. And confession and repentance, right? Asking forgiveness. Having this constant direction in our life draws us closer to Jesus Christ. And when we draw closer to Jesus Christ, that faith, right? All we need is what size of a mustard seed. Drives away through the power of the Holy Spirit that spirit of fear in our lives. When the storms in this life come, the challenges hit us. As we looked at Mark 4, we will not react like the disciples in the spirit of fear. No. We will center our life. The one in the boat with us. The Holy Spirit in our life. That gives us the comfort and the peace. Gives us the power to break that hold that Satan has on our life. That he wants to invade the spirit of fear to grip us. But we don't allow that to happen, because while we are children of light, we have the power of the Holy Spirit, and Satan cannot do nothing with a man or a woman that draw close to Jesus Christ. A faith that does not waver. That ultimately has surrendered his or her life to the one that holds our tomorrow. We say to the spirit of fear, if it's in your life, get out. You have no place in my life. For I am a child of God. I am light. And no darkness is in me. The chains I have allowed to wrap around my life, because I have allowed it. Remember, the only power that Satan has in our life is the power that we have allowed him to have over our life. Because why? God says he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and sell mine. I pray today that you are getting what I am trying to lay out for you, that the Holy Spirit has laid it in my heart to speak, is that we do not have to be in a constant state of fear if we are children of God. He has given us the power, his power, to break that hole. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come, thank you for this opportunity to get into your word. Lord, I pray anyone here that is operating in this spirit, I pray they go back through these scriptures that you have laid out for this sermon, this teaching. They study them intently. Don't let this sermon stop here, or this teaching stop here, Lord. I pray flood their life with going deeper into your word. Let scripture flow through their veins as the blood flows, let scripture flow through their life as the blood flows through our veins. Memorizing it. Portions upon portions every day, flooding our mind with scriptures, clinging to you with everything we got, having a life consistently praying, not just for an hour, but hours a day, where our hearts unfolded on the ground to to you. Change us, Lord. Guide us, Lord. Help us be the men and women that you need us to be. As this life grows, this world grows darker and darker. This is so important that we do not let the spirit of fear grip our hearts. We know everything has to come for what it needs to come for you to come back one day. We look around and we say this is what this has to take place. Your will be done, not mine. Lord, let my life line up with yours. If it doesn't line up with yours, remove it. I want your way, Lord, and not mine. Open my eyes to those around me. Open my ears to hear what you need me to hear. Guide and direct my steps to those around that I could tell them all about you. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. If you guys need to reach out to me through, you know, in Facebook, you know, I'm on Facebook. Once again, I get Facebook requests. Please reference this website out. If you're, I just don't add random people on my Facebook account. It just doesn't how that works. If you email me, make sure you put it in the top subject bar, Wake Up America Church, and you can put questions there on top. Just write the word question or whatever you want. So if it does go in my spam mail, I know where to find it, because those can go to spam mail. And one time I found one that was old. And it was in my spam mail, and there was no heading on it, so I can't, you know. Now, if you're on my Facebook, or if you want to be on my Facebook, you can definitely easily message me through there. I have a Twitter account. I don't use it often that much. I have an Instagram account. I don't really use that hardly at all either. If you have my private number, you definitely can message me through that, or call me if you feel led to. So if you try to reach out to me those ways, you know, especially those that have my private messaging phone number, you know how to reach me that way. You guys have a good rest of your day or night, and remember, stand on truth, guys. Be that light. Bye.